Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
The following radio show is a live recording of the I Survived Real Estate event on August 23rd, 2008. The event brought together realtors, auctioneers, investors, mortgage professionals, economists, data providers, and builders to discuss how we got here, how the respective industries are changing, and how we move forward and prosper together in 2008 and beyond. Proceeds from the event went to the Orange County affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure. The event would not have been possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Investment Association and President Bill Tan, the Investors Workshops of Orange County and President Sean Watkins, MVT Productions, the audio video master behind the spectacular live production, White House Catering, who provided superb cuisine and outstanding service for the live event, Fry Wiles, the web development, internet marketing, and creative design firm that created the event site iSurvive2008.com, Proxibid, the online auction platform that aired the entire event online nationwide live, the Nixon Library, Pechanga Resort and Casino, the Chicago Bulls, the Denver Nuggets, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. See iSurvive2008.com for pictures, video, and more details on this historic event, brought to you by the Norris Group.
Our third presenter is Philip Tyrone. Philip is the president of the 7 Steps to a 720 Credit Score and the Mortgage Equity Group. Philip is an expert in residential home financing. He has a unique background in trying to get people loans that had substandard credit and very difficult to obtain loans. Philip, that's about every loan there is at this point. And so he's got to be a very busy man. In addition to authoring 7 Steps to a 720 Credit Score, Philip's workbook, Applying the 7 Steps to the 720 Credit Score, is one of Nightingale Conant's top sellers. Philip, there you go. Glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you. Great to be here. So in 2002, in the year 2000, right before the tech bubble busted, a lady came to me for a home loan, and she said, "What type of work do you do?" She said, In 2000, a man came to me and said, "I'm a day trader." I'm like, "Oh, you're a day trader. Great. How long have you been doing this?" "About 6 months." And I said, "What were you doing before that?" He said, "Termite inspector." I said, "Okay." Fast forward 6 years. Lady came to me. I said, "What type of work do you do?" She said, "I'm a real estate investor. And I said, "How long have you been doing that?" "6 months." "Have you bought a deal yet?" "This is my first deal." I said, "What were you doing before that?" She said, "An executive assistant." And I start seeing this pattern. I was like, okay, interesting. So here we are. We've just gone through this unbelievable, painful experience for all of us. So Bruce asked me to speak, and I asked him, "What would you like me to speak on?" And he said, "Give us solutions from a residential lending background. Like, what are solutions today for buyers, sellers, and investors that you can go and implement on Monday?" So that's what I did. I just sort of like, this is what I'm experiencing in the world of residential lending right now. So I'm going to start with the top 3 lending strategies for buyers. And the truth of the matter is, some of these are going to apply for a lot of you. Some of them may apply for your family or friends. But let's just start. Top 3 lending strategies for buyers. Believe it or not, I'm still getting asked the question if there's stated income loans. People are coming to me asking me, "Well, do I need a document with my tax returns?" And I'm like, yes. Now, although there are very few stated income loan products that are still out there, what we're seeing happen more and more is when individuals coming to us, self-employed or individuals that have tax returns or have W-2 income, but write off a lot of their unreimbursed expenses, and they're right on the edge of qualifying, we're actually seeing people for the first time amend their tax returns, refile, pay the government more money in taxes so that they can actually buy this home. I think that's very interesting. So for your buyers, or for those of you who are buying or right on the edge and you can't qualify for income, that may be a strategy. Banks are very, very aggressively going after co-borrowers and co-signers, where in the past, that wasn't always the case. In the past, they would ask you, okay, if you have a co-signer, it's going to give you a little bit of higher interest rate. It's not the case anymore. Banks are allowing non-occupant co-borrowers, so borrowers that don't live in the property, to qualify for the home, and in turn, they're going to give that person an owner-occupied rate. Last thing for buyers. You know, we've heard people talk about the buy and bail, where someone has a home worth $400,000, and they're in their neighborhood, they can buy their same home for $250,000. So they want to buy this home with their good credit and let the other property go into foreclosure. So just to let you know, Fannie and Freddie have caught on to that. And as of August 1st, if you want to buy a home in the same neighborhood, they have different guidelines. One, it has to make sense why you're moving. Are you getting an extra bedroom because your family grew or whatever? If you have less than 30% equity, here's how you have to qualify. You have to... you can't take any rental income for the previous home. You need to hit the borrower or count both properties, PITI, to qualify and have 6 month reserves. So basically, not many people are going to be able to do that. Okay? Let's talk about the top three lending strategies for investors. Okay? Number one, I have clients and investors come to me all the time. They buy a property for cash and they say, I want to get a refinance out. I want to do a cash out refinance. So if that's the case, if you're looking for the best financing after you've just purchased a property for cash, it's very important that you do that loan within 60 days. Because if not, according to the banks, the guidelines change and you're going to pay a little bit higher in rate. Second lending strategy for investors would be if you're buying in an LLC and you want to get a loan on that afterwards, make sure it's a single member LLC. You're going to get a better rate, better program. Last in lending strategy for investors, you know, we hear over and over about the number of maximum finance properties. You know, Freddie has four maximum finance properties, and Fannie's following. They haven't implemented that guideline yet, but we're expecting that to happen. However, there are many portfolio lenders that are still giving unlimited number of properties to investors at 30% down on 5-year fixed rate loans. So for you investors out there, don't get caught up in the Fannie and Freddie guidelines where you can max them out as four. That is not the case. We're doing all the time right now with portfolio lenders. Top three lending strategies for sellers. So if you have a property that you want to sell, you know, so say for instance you have a property that's selling, you want to sell, it's on the market for $200,000 and it's not selling. A natural inclination, which I see often, that people drop the price to stimulate activity. Well, I challenge you to think a little differently. What if, as opposed to dropping that price $5,000, $10,000, you actually bought down the buyer's interest rate? Okay, I want to think about this for example. If you bought down, if you spent, you know, on a $200,000 property, if you spent $7,000 or $8,000 and dropped that person's interest rate by 1%, you would, in essence, lower that person's payment, that buyer who's buying your property, by 15%. Okay? It's a unique way to think about how to stimulate a property you're trying to sell. Another option for strategies for sellers. If you have someone's coming and they're, you know, you have a great buyer, but they just don't have the down payment or something that just needs to get them over the edge for qualifying, you know, we are able you're able to get gifts for down payments. Now, FHAs allows 100% gift for a down payment. Fannie and Freddie, you need 5% of your own funds, but after that can be gift. And lastly, lending strategy for sellers. As painful as it is, FHA is our friend. Like, I know the anti-flipping policy. You guys hate, the investors hate it. Because you can't, a bank-owned property, you can't put an FHA lender or FHA buyer on that property for 90 days. But what we're doing, in order to try to just stimulate that a little quicker, is we're ordering the appraisal, we're doing everything up front, and then on the 90th day, 91st day, we write up the contract and push it through. And as I just say, as painful as it is, FHAs is the easiest way to get financing. Lastly, for buyers, investors, and sellers, take advantage of your credit score. Without a question, the minimum credit score you can withstand right now is a 720, and that's the very minimum. Okay. The thing is there's a key difference between credit management versus credit repair. People think credit repair is I have a 30-day late on my mortgage. How do I get that off? Well, credit management is using the rules to your rules, using the rules of credit to your advantage. I mean, like, for instance, a lot of people don't realize that 80% of us, 80, so like this percentage of the room has an error on their credit report. 25% of the room, so like this entire room here, has an error that is so bad that if you applied for credit today, any of you over here, you'd be denied because of that error. Okay? Credit is so easy to work. And I mean, like, if you have a buyer come to you, and for whatever reason, they don't have the credit score needed, don't worry. I mean, we've seen people get 100-point swings in their credit score in 30 days, and that is without getting any late payments off. If someone is legitimately late, we leave those on, but we use credit to your advantage. Okay? Lastly, on the Norris Group website, is they will have a talking point outline of this speech. Because if you need something, if you want to see exactly what, you know, what I talked about, it's on the Norris Group website. Also on that website, there's a link to our website. And on there, we have free downloads. I bet you didn't know this about credit. We have downloads, the 10 biggest credit mistakes. And lastly, the Home Loan Maximizer. And that's where we talk about, from a seller's and a buyer's standpoint, how to use the buy down to your advantage. Thank you very much.
I hope you guys took some notes. That was good information. Our next guest speaker, by the way, Philip, thank you very much. Thank you. Our next speaker is Anna Maria Allen. She's president of the Compliance Group. Anna Maria has an extensive 20-year background in the mortgage lending industry and has worked for several large financial institutions as compliance manager and mortgage banking. She is a member of the MBA, CMBA, and has chaired the Sub-Compliance Committee of the Mortgage Quality Assurance and Compliance Committee. Anna Maria? Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I'm honored to be here. A little nervous, I must say. But I also lost a mother to cancer, so this was very exciting for me to be here. So thank you very much. I'm going to try to keep this as positive as possible. I'm actually a compliance officer, and we tend to talk more to the negative than the positive. So when our clients hire us, we never really come with good news. I am here representing the California Mortgage Bankers Association, and so I'm here on behalf of the mortgage industry. And I was glad that everybody was finished with their dinner because I didn't want tomatoes or anything thrown at me. So, but the lending industry yesterday, I kind of wanted to talk about the lending industry yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And basically, the lending industry yesterday, in my mind, was unsophisticated borrowers, unsound loan programs, subprime, no income, no asset, a greedy industry, greedy borrowers, unsound business practices, minimal internal compliance standards, minimal internal safety and soundness quality control reviews, and untrained regulators, and overinflated property values. Sounds fun, huh? So I thought, well, with this presentation, I thought I'd add a little humor to it. This kind of says it all. This banker says, let's see if I have this straight. You want a home equity loan to help pay for a backpack, Lucky Brand jeans, and tennis shoes. Now, I have to say, I have a dog, and probably most of you do. My dog's igloo out in our backyard appraised for higher value than my house. So this dog says, where I come from, it's called collateral, and he has a big bone on the table. Lending today. Basically, I'm talking from a compliance standpoint on mortgage lending and brokering, and even from a bank industry. Basically, there's been a complete overhaul of loan programs. They've made it harder for just any borrower to qualify. Lending has somewhat stabilized due to new laws enacted. So I'm seeing stabilization in lending, but that's basically because subprime has gone away. We're back to a full document type of scenario. And I call that back to the basics of underwriting. Back in the 80s, when I started, we did full underwriting of everything. And that's what we're coming back to. I've seen over the past probably 5 years, where we were really doing a lot of automated underwriting. And while automated underwriting is still around, we're getting back to really looking at the file and underwriting that file, income, assets, and so forth. I feel the affordability index has moved to a more attainable price for borrowers, but it's still not quite there. I see a lot of inflated prices in the home still. We haven't seen the worst of it, and I think as the panelists prior to me have also indicated the same thing, I see that within the next year we still have a ton of adjustable rate mortgages that are going to be resetting. Of course, I have to have another cartoon. This one says, well, I think everything is in order. Congratulations on your new home, and the children are in a wheelbarrow. Lending today still. There are a large amount of legislative changes. We have HERA, which is the Housing and Economic Recovery Act, which Bush just signed into effect the end of July. And basically, I outlined about four different bullets. FHA refinance voluntary program, which is the hope for now for homeowners. It seems to be, and I'll have to admit that this is a 636-page document that has just been passed into law, and I haven't been made myself familiar with it. So, but it appears that the FHA, the Hope for Now Homeowners Program, is going to be a pretty good program, although I have heard that even though it's a voluntary program, it may not be as voluntary as one would expect. There's going to be servicer fiduciary duty on loss mitigation, foreclosure protection, and a whole lot more. We can also see what's called the SAFE Act that just got passed several days ago, and that is the Secure and Fair Enforcement for Mortgage Licensing Act of 2008. Basically, this act has come into effect to protect consumers seeking mortgage loans and ensure the mortgage lending industry is operating without unfair, deceptive, and fraudulent practices on the part of mortgage loan originators. Basically, I'm not sure if you're familiar, but there is a new system out there called the National Mortgage Licensing System, and all lenders and brokers and loan originators will have to register through this system, and this is part of this whole system. So it is going to make loan originators, lenders, and brokers part of this whole system, and all the states will be speaking to each other, and it's going to keep people honest. There's also been an amendment to Regulation Z, which goes into effect 10-1 of 09. Unfortunately, it means more disclosures to consumers, just what we need. Higher-priced mortgage loans, there's a category in there for higher-priced mortgage loans. It's supposed to capture all subprime loans. It's supposed to capture a portion of Alt-A loans and generally exclude loans in the prime market. There's also additional advertising restrictions, and there's different ways of calculating the APR to the index as well. So with that, you're going to have to disclose more. With those good news, I had to add another comic. 6% loans. You're part of the 6% we won't be lending money to. Lending today continued. Many state law changes. Just in California alone, we have 30 bills that are in the legislature. Some have just passed with emergency laws going into effect, mainly for foreclosure prevention laws. A lot of the states, we do nationwide compliance, so a lot of the states are passing also foreclosure prevention laws, loan modification laws, servicing laws, and the states have passed what's called the non-traditional mortgage guideline, every lender and broker is required to adopt these guidelines if they are lending on ARM products. I kind of feel this is too little, too late, but this will never happen again. They are telling me my time is up. The last comic that I have here is there anything we can do to repay you other than to repay you? And I do want to just, I part of this was the solutions, because we were told to talk about the solutions. So I feel like I've been doom and gloom up here. And I just want to add, I think the biggest solutions for the coming up years is consumer education. We have to get the consumers out there and educated. It is extremely important. And we also have to be aware of fraud and preventing it. And the lending industry as a whole needs to be informed and well-trained also. And we need stronger compliance standards, stronger safety and soundness assessments, and laws that will be in place now, I think, will help from all of this happening in the future. Thank you.
Anna Maria, thank you. Our next speaker is Richard Lambros. He's the CEO of the Builders Industry Association of Southern California. They just came out with numbers that basically said that they have the lowest numbers they've had in a very long time. Richard is responsible for the day-to-day management of the sixth largest local building trade association in the nation and the largest local association in the state. He works with the BIA and other groups to craft and implement strategies that will grow the size and strength of the association. Richard, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I have to start by apologizing that I don't have a PowerPoint tonight, but I was going to say, but I'm from the building industry, and you already heard that we're a little short on cash. So we've had to cut out PowerPoints, but, you know, heck, some of us even remember the good times when we could even afford handouts. And I do want to also apologize, and just sort of in the interest of full disclosure, I'm just going to let you know, I'm absolutely the least qualified person on this panel, but I'm kind of used to it. I'm just the builder guy. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on a panel on energy efficiency in the home, the latest in technology, and I was on a panel of physicists, scientists. The guy I spoke after was a nationally recognized physicist from the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. He's talking about, you know, how the electron works. I get up there and I've got to talk about double pane windows and tight heating ducts. So bear with me. I'll do the best I can. And we do appreciate you being here for this important cause, because I'm assuming you're out here for the cause. No one in their right mind would be out on a Saturday night to listen to this much bad news. So I assume you're all here for the cause. Well, as was already mentioned, you know, there's a lot going on, big cycles, shifts, and all of you know that, you know, real estate's a speculative investment, right? You hear that all the time. And in the housing industry, we don't talk speculative investment, we talk cycles. You know, it goes up, it goes down. And I do think that the danger in thinking in terms of everything's just a cycle is that pretty soon you start to think that we're just sitting in a car on a roller coaster. And when it's going up, it's going up. You don't have to be good. You don't have to know what you're doing. You're just riding the cycle up. And when it's going down, you're just along for the ride. There's not a darn thing you can do. You're stuck in that car. There's no steering wheel. It's on a track. Outcome's predetermined. Let's just ride it out. And let's hope it's not a really big dip, because I hate the big dips. I like the really good upswings, not the big dips. I don't believe that. And I know all of you don't believe that, or you wouldn't be here. And that's, I want to thank Bruce for putting this on. We're really going to try to see if we can figure out what's happening and how we get at some of the solutions. Well, you know, what's happening in home building, you've already heard some of that. Bruce mentioned it just this week. The Construction Industry Research Board, a group called CURB, they came out with numbers, and it said the total new home production in California continued to decline across the board in July. Declines single-family, multifamily, both. It declined month-to-month, year-to-year. Basically, the numbers support a notion that California will produce the lowest number of new homes in recorded history. Sounds kind of ominous, recorded history. Let's just be clear. We've only been recording this since the mid-50s, okay? But it is bad. It's bad. And in the industry, we don't talk about a recession. We've been talking about a depression. It's very difficult. Specifically, we'll build about 75,000 new homes this year in California. 75,000, what does that mean? Well, we did 113,000 last year, and that wasn't a good year, in case any of you missed it. And just 3 years ago, we did 209,000. So in 3 years, we have cut to one-third the amount of production. And thank you, Chris, for pointing out it can only go down to zero, right? Yeah, you think that's funny, don't you? Yeah. Things are pretty good for economists right now, aren't they, Chris? Yeah, you're doing this a lot on Saturday nights, aren't you? All right, try home building, pal.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.